Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
Today, we're going to try, and I know for some of you it's going to be harder than for others, but we're going to try to restrain ourselves from comparisons and from criticism. We will instead attempt to walk the walk we talk so much about. We will be water walkers in the raging storms of life. You know, when a fish is pulled up out of the water, you may have noticed, if you're a fisherman, and perhaps even if you're not, that the fish just flips and flops around. It flips and flops. It flips and flops. It's not going anywhere. It's using the same old techniques that it used when it was in its real environment, the water. And eventually, this fish out of water is going to flip and flop itself into exhaustion. It's not going to be able to breathe any longer, and it's going to die. That's the plight of many Christians today. We try to use our spirituality when we're out of water. We're out of the environment of the Spirit. You know, we can't do anything of ourselves. And when we don't utilize the Spirit of God, which is all-powerful, which can do all things, then we're robbing ourselves of one of our greatest tools. We, too, may grow tired and die. I have a little bit of an illustration. You can tell I spent a lot of money and a lot of time on this illustration by just looking at it. I have three envelopes. The smallest has my name on it. It says Roy Frady. And then the second envelope is larger. It has Jesus Christ written on it. And so when I'm in Christ, I put my small envelope in the larger envelope that says Jesus Christ on it. And Jesus is in God the Father, and so I have a third envelope which says God the Father, and I put Jesus in God the Father, Father God. Now this represents the unity of the Spirit of God. In order for someone to know who I am, they have to take out of the Father God the envelope that says Jesus Christ, and then they have to open it and pull out the little one that says Roy Frady. And when they look inside the Roy Frady, there's a slip of paper that says the Holy Spirit of Jesus. I am in Christ. Christ is in me. Christ is in the Father. The Father is in Christ. The Holy Spirit of God is in all and all. Therefore, I am only as strong as I can be when I am within the spiritual trinity of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Each of us tries to just use an empty envelope that may have our name on it. And we get techniques and we try to put inside of us all of the techniques we have learned. We try to put psychology. We try to put psychiatry. We try to put doctor this and doctor that inside, and we become our own physicians in effect, and we try to diagnose ourselves. We shouldn't ever do that. It is only Christ in me, me in Christ, Christ in the Father, the Holy Spirit in all, that gives any of us power and we have to have power to live. Therefore, I want you to think about yourself this way. Let's suppose you went to a conference. I've been to conferences like this, and you're mingling with pastors. And some of the pastors are really big-name people. And they're sort of intimidating. And one of the pastors comes to you and says, "I'm so-and-so. I have a ministry that reaches 10,000 people a week, and I want you to be one of my followers." And then you walk around, here comes another one. He says, "I am the pastor of Deliverance for the United States of America, and I have 10 million people who watch me every week. I publish 15 books every year. I want you to follow me and be one of those who partakes of my wisdom." And then the Apostle Paul is in the same room, and he shows up, and you look at him, and he doesn't have $1,000 suits on. And his hair is not even cut or styled correctly. He's got a long beard. Looks like a little Jewish guy. Doesn't have a very expensive gold Rolex on his arm. He's like a fish out of water. He doesn't seem to fit in. He just flips and flops around. And he says, "I am the least of all these. I am the least of the apostles. I'm just a blue-collar guy. I'm just like anybody else. I feel weak. I feel depressed. The things I want to do, I can't do. The things I know not to do, those things seem to be the things I do already." Who do you think is a greater spiritual example? The person who has it all on the outside and has it together? Or the person who is honest and shows that he's walking the typical, the common Christian walk, that he himself doesn't think of himself. He thinks only of God. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You that You alone are worthy of praise and honor, that You alone are the power that lifts us. You're the power that looks down on Betty and says, "Betty, those spots on your lung are gone in Jesus' name." You're the ones that looks down on us and sees Gary with a bad back and says, "Be healed. Walk. Be strong." You are the one that has words of life, of vigor, of death as well. You are the beginning and the ending of all things. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the one who we wish to hear from today. Father, we know that we have been carried along by people who said things that didn't really mean them and who weren't really examples. And forgive me, Father, for not being a good example of how Jesus walks and talks. In fact, cast out all my words. Cast out everything I would say. And You take control. You speak to every heart here in the language that they understand the best. The language of love that You have placed in the Holy Spirit of God. May each of us have ears to hear May your gift of Pentecost truly be awakened. May they hear in their own language those things which you want to tell us, those things which you want to teach us, those things that are commands, those things that bring life. Father, we turn ourselves totally over to you. And we ask that you would do these things in the name that you placed above all other names, in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like us to read a little bit of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 12. I'd like to turn to those things. 2 Corinthians 12, I'll read 1 and 2 and 4 through 6. Paul says, "It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Such a one was caught up in the third heaven." How he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter, "Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmity. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I restrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me." That's a breath of fresh air in the culture we're living in, isn't it? Instead of finding conventions and things are going along and people pumping themselves up and other people pumping them up until they're so big that they're about to burst, we find someone who is humble, who is like you and me. He doesn't pretend to be a super spiritual person. He just doesn't pretend. He wants us to know that he is just like us. He tells us that he is subject to the same bodily hurts we are from. If you look in 7 through 9, it says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I exalt above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.' Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities than in the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. There is a thorn in the flesh that Paul can't get relief from." Oh, many volumes have been written about this, about what that thorn in the flesh was. Maybe it was his eyesight, because we know he wrote his name in large letters. But so does Thomas Jefferson when he signed the Declaration of Independence. We know that it could have been that. It could have been that he had that as a thorn in the flesh. It could have been many things. Maybe you've experienced some of those things yourself. What is your thorn in the flesh? Maybe it is a bad back. Maybe it is spots that they have detected on your lungs. Maybe it is a limp arm. Maybe it is an ankle or a knee that's gone out, and you don't feel confident you can put your weight upon it. Maybe it's just that you're getting older and the rages of old age keep you from doing what you once did. Maybe that's what your thorn in the flesh is. Maybe it's mental. Maybe you're filled with fears, anxieties, depression. Maybe you can't see the world as it really is because of these kinds of things that come upon you. Maybe you say, you know, there are things I do I know not to do. Maybe I smoke, I drink, I take drugs, I do this, I do that. I do all kinds of things I know not to do, and yet I do them. That's what Paul said. Maybe you say that too. Like Paul, maybe you have grown to the place where you feel strong in your weakness because you know that God uses that weakness to do wonderful things. Here's the good news. When you acknowledge your weakness, God is strong in you. And as a matter of fact, most trouble any of us ever gets into is when we, out of pride, puff ourselves up and say, oh, I can handle this. I can do this myself. I don't need anybody else to help me. I can do this. You're ready for a fall. That's what happens. The Bible says when we are filled with pride, we become ready for a fall. Look at 2 Corinthians verse 9 again. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Only when you get out of the way can God do the work He wants to do in your life. This church is not a great body of believers that is numerically large. We don't have very much money. We have buildings that people drive by and say, well, that building's not anything good enough to blow away. Wouldn't be worth the powder to blow it away. And yet, God uses us in wonderful ways. He feeds the poor. He clothes the naked. He does these things. Not we. We don't have the strength to do it. We don't have the body of believers to do it. We don't have all the volunteers. You know, I talked to a lady on Tuesday when I was here, and she told me that, hey, listen, you need this thing built out here. Maybe we can have our volunteers. And I stopped her and I said, well, yeah, but we have to get permits from the city and it has to be approved contractors and blah, 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 blah. Because I was not looking with eyes of faith. Faith does not look on things that are not and say, this is the reason why not. Faith looks at things that are not and says, why not? We don't know. We're just poor. And because we are, God receives all the glory for everything we do. When there are people here on Thanksgiving Day, and that to me is a great day, because we've served over 2,000 people for numbers of years, and when we do that, we didn't do anything. We just got out of the way. We allowed people to come here who wanted to serve. We can't serve with the people that we have here as well as we can with all the people that come from all the churches in the city and across the city and beyond the city. They come in the name of Christ, and in His name is glorified. not Willow Creek. When we write out letters, we beg for money. That's what we're doing when we write letters. We're begging for money. We don't write very many because there are very few people that hear our cries. And we try to fill up those letters with all kinds of things, and we say, oh, well, we need this and we need that, and we're going to do school supplies soon. Anybody who wants to help us can help us with school supplies. And Sandra and I walked in a grocery store the other day, and we saw there were little school supply things there, and right there at the door, they said that these were bag busters or bag fillers or something. They were nothing. They were $7 is what they were, but you couldn't just give $7 to a child because they couldn't buy the things that only God can provide. And so we know that God feeds these people and that He responds to these people, both here and beyond our borders, overseas. God does these things. In our weakness, He is strong. So what is true spirituality? How would you react if a man came here, a Christian man, a man of certain prominence within the church, or maybe a church came here, I don't know, and they said to you, well, you know, I can't really easily describe what God's doing with me. I don't know. I don't have anything to brag about. I don't know what's going on. I've been praying for a long time for things to be the way I want them to be, and God doesn't seem to hear my prayers because things are just like they were before I started praying. What if He said, I often feel overextended. I feel burned out. I feel too weak to do anything. What would you say? Would you look at that church or that minister and say, well, man, you really are sick, aren't you? You really do need some help. Maybe you need some special counseling. Or maybe you need to follow this program. This is what we've been doing. Maybe you need to read this book. This is the book that changed us. Maybe you need to pray this way and not that way. Maybe you need to do this and not that. We try to fix things, don't we? Is that the way you would react? Would you say, that church or that minister were wrong? Or would you say, I know, brother. That's just the way we feel. We feel spent most of the time. We do everything we can, and it's not enough. I got Ray today because I took Ray from the middle of what he was doing to do something that I thought needed to be done so that we could pass on the information quickly and quietly in a way that would be appropriate so that people would get the information. And I walked into his office and I said, I need this. And he had to go through all kinds of things. Took him totally away from what he was doing. And I looked at Ray and I thought, Ray is experiencing just exactly what I'm talking about today. We're overextended. When you're the only person that can do anything and your time is being spent someplace else, perhaps you felt that too when someone has asked you to do something. But you have to realize that when you are weak, when you admit that, then strength comes upon you. And that is the moment that God's been waiting for. Say, I can't do it, Lord. Only You can do it. I remember a time in my life when I had to say that. I walked out of the yard, and I knew the guy was coming to collect the rent. He came to collect the rent every month. He didn't wait for me to send it in the mail. He didn't believe any of those stories about it got lost in the mail. He would come to get the rent. And I didn't have any money. And I, you know, we were standing around there, and I walked out in the yard, and I said, Lord, I can't do it. I can't do it. The mailman came, put something in the mailbox, and drove off. I thought, oh, another bill. I walked out and opened up the mailbox, and there was a letter from an insurance company I didn't recognize at all. And inside was a check for the exact amount of my rent. God heard my need. In my weakness, He answered. All I had to do when that guy came over was to sign the back of that check and just hand it to him. And he went off happy. Not nearly as happy as I was. That is what we have to do. We have to understand that when we are weak, that's the moment when God strengthens us. God can do all things through us, through Christ, when we admit that we are nothing and that Christ is everything. That's why we do what we do. Oh, we may not wear a Rolex, gold Rolex on our wrist, and we may not wear $10,000 suits, and we may not have a fancy car to drive. We may not have any of the outward expressions of God's blessings. For every good and perfect thing comes from God. But instead, we are experiencing weakness. Weakness in our bodies or weakness in our spirits. Weakness. Spiritual weakness. God loves a broken and contrite heart. I listened. My heart went out to Drew as he talked about how he had gone through this spiritual awakening, really, where he realized that the people that had gone into heaven were singing the same song he was singing, praying to the same God in the same presence that we're praying to. They're just a little closer to God than we are. Yes, I understand that. Paul is saying that the super apostles who brag about their great visions and their super spirituality are talking of earthly things. They're talking about how they were blessed with this and blessed with that. Look into the face of the people who come here on Tuesdays and realize that they feel blessed because they take away food that they need to fill their bodies. That is a true blessing. Paul, on the other hand, refrains from any kind of boasting, bragging. Doesn't brag about his experiences. Not even when God has taken him up into the third heaven. He doesn't brag about that. He gives all the credit and all the glory to God. You know, those super spiritual people, they sometimes tell us that God hears their prayers. And if you'll write me a check and send it to this television station, I'll pray for you too so that you too may be having experienced the same thing I'm experiencing. He says they're empty. Those people are empty. They don't know what they're doing. True spirituality tells us that in times of trouble, God will give you the grace to overcome the trouble you're in. How many times have I stood by a saint who's dying, who's had incurable, quote-unquote, disease of some description, cancer or something else? One time, I remember, and I've told you this story before, so bear with me. Those of you who remember it, bear with me. Because it makes the point that I'm trying to say. There was a pastor, and he was full of himself. I mean, he was a retired pastor, and he wore an ascot every time he came to our prayer service. I was working as chairman of the Salvation Army Board of Directors, and he was on the board. And his wife was at home, And he couldn't get there every time. He told me, I can't get there every time because the woman that's supposed to be there for my wife who's in hospice can't get there on time, and that makes me unhappy because I can't get here on time to have the breakfast with you guys. And I said, that's okay. I said, what is the nature of your wife's problem? He says, she has a cancer so large in her stomach that it's inoperable. It is inoperable. It is a cancer that is eating her up. And he said, it's just a matter of time. I don't know how much time it is, but it's just a matter of time. This is a pastor telling me that. And I said, would you allow us to pray for her? He said, oh, yeah, go ahead, pray. So we prayed for this woman. He came back, and the next month we had another meeting. He was mad as a wet hen. He looked at us, and he said, oh, what is that? What, you know, I don't know what you did, but you made my life miserable. I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, they can't find that tumor anymore. He said, and I've already canceled her a dentist appointment or hair appointments, and now I have to remake them. He was mad as he could be because God had done what only God could do. I couldn't do it. Only God could do that. We are like that. And that's what Paul's saying here. He's saying that these great spiritual people are really weak. Paul talks about the authentic person who's spiritual. They have feelings of weakness. It's possible that when you're weak, that God can do wonderful things through you. Look at this church. This church is nothing. Look around you. There are not anybody here, hardly. Look at it. Could you look at this group of people and say, yeah, there are lots of, you got 25 millionaires, you got 35,000 young people that are strong and healthy and can volunteer and do all these things. No, he didn't choose those kinds of churches to do this kind of work. He chose the weak and humble because in our humility, he can receive all the glory. God will do greater things for you than you've ever expected. So take a word from Paul and feel happy when you're persecuted for Christ or when you're, you know, how can he say that? How can he say that? He says that because he has gone through it time and time and time again, and he realizes that wonderful things happen when he can't do it and admits it, and only God can do it, God shows up. That's the way God receives the glory and honor. There's no other explanation for a minister or a ministry like Paul's. Paul himself felt overwhelmed. He couldn't do what he wanted to do. He only did the things he shouldn't do. He had a thorn in his flesh. He had all these excuses. And as Elton says, we don't accept excuses. We don't give room for excuses. Paul didn't have excuses. He had faith in the one who could when he couldn't. The church and this ministry could not do what we do without God's power and grace and mercy because of our total dependence upon Him. These things we want to do, only Jesus can do. I was at the police station several times this last week, and I was there offering my services to people who were suffering and their families who were suffering because police officers have been targets recently. And while I was there, I found out the consequences of driving drunk. Boy, they are heavy consequences when you drive drunk. And you see a person that drives drunk or is high, they walk differently. You know, that's the reason they try to get you to walk a straight line. Because you can't do it. You walk differently. You talk differently. You say things that you don't mean to say when you're drunk. When you're drunk, you may stab somebody with a broken bottle. You may. It's not an excuse, but you may do it. You don't see the world as the world really is. You see it differently. It changes you. It changes you. You're like a fish that flips and flops out of water. You're not in your environment. When a follower of Jesus is filled with the Spirit of God, he or she talks differently. He or she walks differently. He or she sees the world differently. He or she knows that in their weakness, they are strong because of Christ in them. They know. They're new creatures. They're water walkers. They themselves can do nothing, but the Spirit that is within them allows everything to be done. I wonder how many of us are willing to step out of the boat today. Are we willing to confess that we can't do it? That only God can do it? Are we willing to allow our thorn in our flesh to stay? If God says you're going to have that pain in your back, but my grace is sufficient for you. If God says you have to undergo an operation, but my grace is sufficient for you. Are you still willing to get out of the boat and walk on the water? That's what God wants each of us to do today. He wants us to get out of the boat and walk the path that Jesus walked and allow us to do things that we cannot do because His Spirit in us allows us to do all things.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.